CQ, CQ, this is Kilo 2 Papa, Charlie Bravo. CQ, 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 Kilo 2 Papa, Charlie Bravo, listening for any calls.
Kilo 2 Papa, Charlie Baker, I guess that's, no, Bravo. This is Kilo Echo 2, Golf Delta Quebec.
Does that feel a little more natural now after this past weekend?
Still struggling with the phonetic alphabet a little bit. Getting better at it, though, definitely after this weekend.
This is the one used by military and, EMS and the like. But, I get you get used to it.
Yeah, it's like anything. It's going to take a little bit of time. So I just need to practice more. Obviously, they use the phonetic alphabet a lot on HF, very little on UHF and VHF, obviously.
You start using it on some of the larger systems, and, people get kind of bothered by it. Obviously, it's taking up airtime. It's kind of unnecessary, unless you're talking to somebody that's really struggling to hear your call sign, and that's not because of fidelity. It's mostly because of maybe they're having more difficulty with their own hearing. Other than that, very, very rarely does it get used.
Yeah, on the morning brew, they a lot of the guys come in with their phonetic call sign, but the net controller will typically just use the standard alphabet. So I'm not sure why the difference, but it works for them, and they've been doing it a long time, so I guess it's okay.
Well, here a lot of people, too, they'll use their suffix of their call sign. And, they'll pop in and say GDQ, PCV. It's a more formal way to say, hey, I'm here, or rather than using break. I know they tried to reserve break for, I think, emergency traffic and your call sign just as a, hey, I'm here, do include me in, when you have the next opening in the round. All the etiquette of repeaters, obviously, I'm sure you're picking up on, or at least on the larger systems. So pretty nice morning here. The sky is like pretty uniform in this light blue color, which is kind of nice. It is over 80 already, so I'm sure it's going to be a hot one. I don't know if we're going to get those thunderstorms that they were threatening or if they got pushed out to Thursday and Friday. Hopefully not when we're going to go kayaking, look for some nice weather there. But, a lot of traffic on the road this morning.
Wow, a lot of traffic. That's interesting. I'm wondering if we will get the thunderstorms later this week. That would be the typical weather pattern for this time of year. You get two or three days of increasingly hot and humid weather, and then you get a good thunderstorm, clears the air, and then you get a couple of days of relatively lower humidity and temperatures, and then it repeats the cycle. Interesting note, I am doing my first 3D print.
So I have to assume that you've been through all the calibrations and feel confident that the bed is level, you have a proper gap, and it is printing. So, let's see, are you printing either a calibration cube, or are you going right for a Benji?
I'm doing the calibration cube. I figured that would probably be the best one to test the printer out.
There is a ton of calibration and challenge prints to test the printer out, if you will. The calibration cube is nice because it can highlight issues in each, I mean, you know, no matter what you print, it's going to highlight the belt tightness in the Y direction or something, but you'll see some issues with ghosting and things like that show up and are pretty prominent in the calibration cube, if it's the cube with letters on there, I'm sure, which it probably is. So that's cool. That's awesome. I think that's right where Jeff was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, when I was going through the manual for the printer, it wanted me to do an OWL, and it supposedly had the G-code on it, but I guess Eric had deleted it off the SD card, which is fine. And so I went to download one the other morning, and it said it was going to take 10 hours to print, and I go, I don't need a print to last 10 hours to test this printer. So I did some searching, and I found the cubes yesterday. So this morning, yesterday the kids were over swimming, and then I had pistol last night, so I didn't get a chance to do anything last night. So this morning I just downloaded a cube, and it's off and printing. I can watch it from here.
Like I said, a cube is a good place to start. Once you've gotten past that, then you can start printing some other stuff. The OWL is nice. There's nobody in front of me. That's what I'm... The OWL is nice, and it's good for the, like I said, X and Y table tightness or belt tightness. But the only thing I think the OWL is really good for, that's any cubic, right, is when it gets to the 9 hour and 55 minute mark and it does its years. When it goes from 1 year to the other year, 1 year to the other year, 1 year to the other year, it's going to be how much stringing there is. And you can address stringing in a different way using much less filament, much faster time than printing the OWL. Of course, the OWL has feathers and the beak and all that. People will compare performance, but it's, in my mind, not worth the print. If you're going to take that much time printing, just print something functional.
Yeah, I didn't really see the benefit in printing the OWL. I do see a lot of benefit in doing the cube. Because I can, once I get it off the plate, their bed, I can measure it, see if it really, how close it is. They give me an idea on scaling factor. And then once I feel comfortable with this, I think I've got the plans for just the 70, oh, the 2 meter and the 70 centimeter Yagi that you build on an extruded aluminum tube. So I might go ahead and start printing those. I did buy 4 rolls of filament. They came yesterday. So I've got 4 different colors now, even though that I can only print one at a time. But they'll give me a good chance to open one, print one or two things, maybe open another one to learn how to purge the nozzle and stuff like that.
So one other suggestion, because this came to you secondhand, and it would be the same if it came to you secondhand or firsthand, and that is, and I'm sure Eric does a good job at this stuff, but to make sure everything's tight. If you haven't tightened up all of the screws, I would do that, especially, you know, everything that you can gain access to, and tighten everything up. And then you talk about measuring the cube. Well, that cube is only, 20 by 20, if even that. What you might want to do is not necessarily print something. I'm sure you can download these, or you can quickly make it in FreeCAD, is to make some type of pattern that either will draw a square all the way out to the outer edges of your build plate, or even just put geometric shapes. You know, you can put a small cube in each of the four corners and measure your outside corners, so your hypotenuse, and see if those match. If you don't, your Y and your X are not perpendicular, and you would want to adjust that. Especially if you want, you know, dimensionally accurate prints, I would check that at some point.
Oh, that is a good suggestion. I will definitely look into that once this print, well, I probably won't have much time today to play with it again. I got to spend some time at my loading bench. I've got to go into Java tonight with a friend to, we're going to shoot 100 rounds tonight, so I got to load up.
It's like, you know, our radio hobby, the printer hobby, and my laser hobby, it'll wait for me till when I'm ready, when I've got the free time. The time-critical stuff always gets pushed in front. But I've got 6:45, so I'm gonna head on out. This is K2PCB. I'm going to wish you a good morning. I'll say 7-3. And, I haven't heard Ross in here, but I've been maybe quick keying. So I'll relinquish the mic and, again, say good morning. K2PCB, I am clear. I'll let Alyssa for your final.
Well, thanks for all the 3D printer advice, Travis. I greatly appreciate that. 73 to you. Have a great day. Stay cool and stay hydrated. And we'll see if KC2PET is out there.
Good morning, Brad. How are you doing this fine, humid morning?
It is a very humid morning. Upstairs on the second floor was definitely warm, made for a rough night of sleeping, but down here in the basement, it's pretty comfortable. And as you probably heard, I'm doing some 3D printing this morning.
What are you printing off? Anything just tinkering around, or something that you need?
Just tinkering. I'm printing a calibration cube, just to get an idea of, you know, using the slicing software, you know, making sure I download it, making sure I know how to run everything on the printer. And then Travis would give me some suggestions on making sure that the prints are good, you know, for like the whole bed. So we'll look into that next. And then I've got plans, or I did find plans for a two-band Yagi, so I need the 2 meter and the 77 meter that would need some 3D printed parts. And I'll have to buy an aluminum tube and some other parts, but then I can print the parts that hold it. And so I'm looking forward to doing that.
Yeah, sounds like you're well on your way into your 3D printing world. So I don't know. I don't see the need for me to get one right now. I don't know, maybe in a couple years. Never have really had to 3D print anything. I know a lot of people make toys for the kids 3D printed. But I don't think if you get the detail and everything that you just buy off the shelf.
Yeah, I was in the same boat as you. You know, 3D printing is cool. You know, obviously I used it a lot at PCB. You know, and I saw the advantage for either testing out fixtures or getting ideas, you know, to see before we cut metal how things might work, and even using 3D printed parts for fixtures or for tooling. It was great, and it worked awesome. I had never seen, you know, an advantage for me necessarily. I didn't think, well, you know, I didn't need it. But when Eric Berger offered me this printer for a really, really good price, it was too good to turn down. So I bought it. I've spent more on filament than I did on the printer.
How much does the filament run?
I bought each One is 2 kilograms. Excuse me, 1 kilogram, 2.2 pounds. So it was $43. So $11 a roll.
Well, I guess that's pretty fair. I don't know what the price that price would be right now. I know. I guess it depends how much. I guess that's kind of a print quality too, because it's the better the print, the more material it uses.
So there's things that they call fill. So you can have like a 10% fill, 100% fill is obviously going to use more filament. So if you look at a fill, it's kind of like a, lack of a better word, a honeycomb. So there's a pattern in it, the way it does it. So depending on what you're trying to make, you could do, you know, a 10% fill or a 15% fill or 100% fill, depending on what you're, like I said, what you're trying to do. There's different types of plastic. I'm using PLA right now. I think PLA is the cheapest. There's some that are really expensive, some that have to be held in a humidity-controlled environment to use them because they absorb water, and then the water will boil off when it goes to the nozzle. This is a pretty low-end printer. It uses PLA or ABS. And I'm not sure how much ABS is, but PLA is, I think, some of the least expensive materials.
Just park it here at work. So, yeah, it sounds like you're well on your way to learning 3D printing. Eventually I'll get there, but got too many things. Just like everything else, I got too much going on in my mind. Too much going on at home, and no time for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I remember when my kids were Evelyn's age. I had two at the time, and there was a lot going on. When they got a little bit older, there was baseball or scouts, or my daughter was in dance for a little while. My son was he was actually getting piano lessons for a little while. There was a lot going on for a while. Now that obviously I'm an empty nester, except for the grandkids, when they come over, I've got a little more time and I'm retired. This, like I said, the price was good and the timing was good, so it worked out.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I had Shocket Discovery last night, so I was replacing the registration sticker on my wife's car. I'm like, I haven't got one for a while on mine. I'm like, I wonder what mine's do. So I'm looking, it's like almost 2 years over. I'm like, holy crap. I better make an appointment to DMV to get my truck re-registered.
Your truck registration is 2 years overdue? I wonder how that would have happened.
Yeah, I don't know. So I checked my emails. I got my emails for my inspection to get done. Those are coming from the DMV, but I have nothing for my registration. And it's been inspected twice. That's the other thing. I thought, they're supposed to catch that at the inspection.
Maybe you did pay it, and you just never got the sticker?
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about it last night after I found out. I'm like, no. You know what? It is what it is. I'll call today and make an appointment to get re-registered. I got to get my license renewed, too. I know that's due up in November. So, I thought it was kind of funny that I never got no notices in the mail, nothing on email, you know, no notification that my registration was going to be due.
Well, definitely make sure that you show that you've got, that you've carried insurance all that entire time so that you don't get hit with that. Wow, that is weird that they didn't send you some sort of notice. I think something happened where it got lost, your sticker in the mail.
Yeah, because we religiously do our insurance. That's on auto pay, like every year, and that's part of our homeowner's insurance. We bundle everything. So that's been, definitely our homeowner's and everything's been paid off. So it's been insured the whole time. It's like I said, just never got, either never renewed it or the sticker never came through. It's just kind of, like I said, I've religiously, at least, you know, when I get something like that notified, I take care of it right away. But, like I said, I guess it is what it is. I'll just make an appointment to get renewed. And like I said, I don't feel like going to the DMV, but it sounds like that's probably the only way I can do it. I can't do it online.
Yeah, that sounds like an in-person thing for sure.
Well, I got to get work out of the way first. So I'll say 73's with you, Brad. I got to go in there. So KD2GDQ. KD2PET. I'll say 73's to you. We'll be at work Thursday, and we have Friday off. So I probably won't talk to you until Monday. So you have a good 4th, and I will talk to you on Monday, 73.
KC2PDQ, this is K2GDQ, 73. You have a great and safe 4th of July as well, and we'll talk to you on Monday. KC2GDQ, clear for today.